The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wacky. What can be more fun? Well, let's see. Winning free money might be more fun, but this could be a close second Wednesday as we use our minds and our hearts to draw into the power and the presence of the Most High God. First up, are you listening to this show by accident? Probably not, but maybe, maybe not. If not, then you may appreciate how a bright new object can lose its shine. Next, life is like a train, and there are engines, various rail cars, and then there's a caboose. The question is, what are the first few rail cars in our own personal train? Truth, love, and then what? And finally, Bible believers are conditioned to deny certain emotional elements of a faith life. It is not intended to cause distress, but it can. And that's just ridiculous.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now you can call in 972-445-0770. If you do that, Terrific T will answer the phone. She'll get you over to me. We'll have a chance to talk. You can text 214-210-8483. You can do that too. Or, I just want to say this, because we had Chinese food yesterday. You can have a little message put in a fortune cookie and have it sent to me, as long as the message isn't, "Help, I'm stuck in a fortune cookie company, and I'm held hostage, and I can't get out." It's fine one way or another. Here's the key. The key to that is if you want to talk about spiritual praise, a praise report, we're for it. If you want to talk about a prayer request, we're for it. We love stuff like this. If you want to, you got a pop question, you're welcome to ask. If we can answer it on the spot, we will. If not, we'll delay it and then answer it later on. And then we also do trivia. Here's today's trivia. Now, yesterday's trivia was very tough, and I'm warning you that it's not going to get easier but tougher as we move along. But this one shouldn't be too bad to start off with. And what book of the Bible gives you 66 choices here? In what book of the Bible do you find the words, "Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart"? What book do you find that in? Keep in mind, any topic for us, open for conversation, because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. So much to say, so little time to do it. Let's just get right off with the obvious. I'm not talking about politics. I'm not interested right now. But I am going to say something about the people that are of the Catholic persuasion. We have a lot of people that are Catholic listening to the show. We love you. We love you. But people are like, "What about what the Pope just said? What about what the Pope just said?" Here's my response. Ready? Ready? Get ready. It's huge. Okay, hold your breath. Okay, here we go. So? That's my response. So, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is, what is our authority between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21, 66 books, 39 the old, 27 the new? We get it. 1,500 year span, 40 authors. We get it. So if somebody wants to say something that's different than the word, so. I know that, how does that affect me? Doesn't. No, zero. It's a topic, I guess, but no. Look at you use the word of God as your plumb line. I'm never going to get away from that. You'll never hear me get away from that. God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Get over it, okay? All right, there we go. All right, somebody calling in. First question, who am I talking to?
Hey, good afternoon, David. This is Al.
Hi, how are you, brother?
I'm doing fine. And you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. I appreciate good. That. All right, so this isn't the toughest, but the principle is huge. I mean, it's not the toughest to figure out where it is, but the trivia question, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Where do we find that?
Would that be in 1 Samuel?
That is correct. 1 Samuel, that is right.
Right.
Now, do you remember the situation? Do you remember a little bit about the situation?
Is this where they were picking the king of Israel and right. They were looking at David?
Right. And who was the dude? This is a really good one. Who was the dude that was doing this? He was a really good guy, did everything right. Everybody loved him. Two books named after him. Who was the dude who was doing that, who was picking David to anoint him with oil? Same name of the book. Same name of the book you just said.
Samuel?
Yes! Okay, so it was the prophet Samuel. Okay. So here's the thing, though, to remember. This is a kind of a cool lesson to learn, and that is Samuel was lights out, dude. Dude was fantastic. He really had his stuff together. People had a lot of respect. He talked to Israel one time. God backed him up with thunder and lightning. I mean, this was some serious stuff. But even he thought, oh, look how good that guy looks. That must be the Lord's anointed. And the Lord's like going, no, that's not him. And even a great man of God who really is discerning can be misled by the outward appearance. That's why you got to rely on the Lord.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Excellent job, my brother. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. You too. Take care.
I got Ronnie up by one.
I'll tell him that's great. He's up on Ronnie. Nice job. All right. Blessings. Okay, we're fun. We're fun. Okay, I want to get into this teaching though. I don't want you to miss this. Some really good stuff, and I'm gonna take you kind of up and down. At you know, I'm gonna take you down a little bit first, and then back up. Okay, this is the only way to do this, I think, appropriately. Jeremiah 31:3 says the following: "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness.'" I love some of the different words that are used in the Hebrew, an everlasting love. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to figure out that. You don't have to be a scholar to figure everlasting love. That's really long. Yes, that is very long, everlasting. We got that. And then an unfailing kindness. What does that mean? The kindness doesn't fail. God's kindness says, okay, got it. I'm not a Bible scholar, but I can walk that. And then you read scriptures like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. How much? He just so loved it. How much? He gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That is fantastic. That is all good news. And like any beginning of a relationship, it's yay, right? Yeah, when a guy meets a girl meets a guy, it's yay. I'm not trying to insult anybody, so don't get weird on me. But when you first get a pet, when we first got Levi, he could fit in my hand. He was so small. Now he's 78 pounds. Guess what? He can't fit in my hand. It was so great until he started eating. And then see, in every relationship, oh, and the baby comes out, oh, and then you cut the cord, oh, I'm so happy for the baby. Then you find out when you feed the baby, there's something else that comes along with the baby, and there's some other things, and you're like, yeah, that's not the best part. Listen, that's normal. That's normal stuff, right? And in your relationship with God, oh, yay, oh. But in times, and in time itself, and in going through trials, you become like the spiritual giants of old. Psalm 51:12, David said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." You're not the only person that has had a honeymoon experience in the Lord, and then have it be fantastic, only to find out that as time goes along, you have to work at it. Not you do it by works. You have to stay in the relationship. You have to be consistent in the relationship. And there becomes a fight because in the very beginning, man, you were smiling ear to ear. Yay, Jesus, he loves me. Oh, I love you, Jesus. Make me everything like you. And God starts to answer that prayer. You start going, hold on now. I want a timeout because I love you. I don't want to go through this. And look at, the enemy is no dummy. He's not an insignificant element. Jesus talked more about Satan than he ever did about the poor. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul wrote, I'm afraid just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may be somehow led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Another translation says your simplicity of devotion to Christ. Sometimes as you are going as a Christian, moving forward, things become more complex in life. That's not abnormal. That's a normal part. You shouldn't feel bad about that. In the beginning of relationships, it's shine. Let me look at it. There's a reason we call it, ready, the honeymoon, right? And we often say the honeymoon phase, kind of like a new job. Oh, this job is great. I get a bigger paycheck. I get these hours. I get this great. Then you find out that there's all this other stuff that goes along with it. You're like, no, wait a second. And the shine is not quite as shiny. And that's what I want to talk about. I want you to recognize, hey, this is normal. This isn't abnormal. You're not abnormal. There's nothing weird about this. This is human life. This is existence. God knows this takes place. We're going to go through scriptures and show how he knows this takes place. And the beginning part is so fantastic. And in fact, we are supposed to actually remember and keep in mind how great the beginning was. Not that we don't take our eyes on what, you know, what we need to deal with and where we're going, but the greatness and the joy, that's what a memorial is about in the kingdom of God. So you remember, these are great things, yay! But don't be fooled. That doesn't mean that every moment is filled with cotton candy and you know, little circus peanuts. Sometimes it's tough and it's hard and the relationship grows. And that's where you get phrases like growing pains. We know that. But I want to talk about a very specific target and growing pains and then bring it back to how we can have some restoration in it. Because we're humans. This is how God made us. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon, and that the gates of hell have never, nor will ever, prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. A couple things to tell you right off the bat. Trivia question coming your way. And then we're going to do the website. I don't want anybody to think that when I was talking about the Pope, I was trying to identify anybody in particular. I was not trying to do that in our audience. We just have people on all realms. And one of the things that the Pope may have said is that he supports civil unions. We just don't know if that's true. And if he said that, that's going to be a little tough, especially if you're evangelical. You're like what? What? But that's, you know. I'm just telling you what's going on, so I don't want anybody to go, ah! It's okay. It's all good. Number two, don't you love that interview with me? Come on. Come on. Isn't that funny?
That was something.
Yeah. I was going to try and do one. This is back in the day, but they really gave me a hard time. I was going to try and do one where I was having a confrontation with the demonic power, but they nixed it. They wouldn't let me do it. I thought it'd be fascinating because I would just keep saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That would be how that would go. All right. Next trivia question, by the way. Who was the person in the Bible that prayed three times a day by an open window, using an open window? That's what I was trying to say. Not using an open window. It was just in front of an open window, praying three times a day. Who was the Bible person that did that? If you know the answer, 972-445-0770 plus 214-210-8483. Keep in mind, too, and T and I have said this before, you're going to hear all kinds of stuff and all the – not everything you hear is right or true. I'm just, you know, calm down. Take a deep – here's the greatest thing to remember. God hasn't moved. Okay, there you go. That should make things a lot better. Okay, so who was the person in the Bible that prayed and I guess in front of? I have to think about how that was. Probably kneel, probably in front of. I don't know. That's probably how that went. That's number one. Number two, do not forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, so don't forget about that. That's very important. That's how we keep things going here. That's how I get to see Jennifer and T and Don and Sarah and everybody else. Because without that, that doesn't happen. See, so I'm trying to help everybody. Okay, all right. So one, two, we got that. Two, three. All right, now this is a very... this is a very hard thing that I'm going to share, and I'm saying it on purpose. I'm prepping you. Again, we have that trivia question out there. You're welcome to call in. You're welcome to text in. Here we go, okay? All right. We understand that in the beginning of our relationship with the Lord, it's very flowery, and I don't mean flowery in a bad way. I mean in a good way. You know, I mean, when my wife and I first got together, I bought her flowers the first year of our marriage, I bought her flowers once a week, every week, for 52 weeks. Now I can do that if our electric bill is not. You see how that different that is? I'm just saying. You can't get mad at me. That's how it is. Now that the electric bill is 5 times the size it used to be, that doesn't happen quite the same. But in the beginning, a lot of things. Then you go through tough times, and you go through, my mom passing away. That was not an easy. There's all these things you go through, and you grow, and you grow, and grow, and grow. But in our Christian walk, we have these same kind of things that take place in the sense that it's really great, and then you go through some tougher times. And the two things that I think that emerge as some of the biggest issues for Christians, I'm just being forthright about this, is our life of faith and our life of feelings. It seems to me, as I've walked, and I don't know if this is true for everybody, but it is very true for me, that feelings and faith can be complementary or they can be kind of enemies, depending on what's going on. And it's important to understand that in your train of life, so a rail car is what the different cars are called. They're called rail cars in a train. The first, normally, the first car in a train, rail car in a train, is the engine, which pulls everything along. And then you've heard in the last one is the caboose, and that's the one that comes up the bed. And then you have the different trains. So I'm one of those people, and I've taken some grief for it, and I don't mind. It's not an issue of fellowship or anything. But I think that the first engine is truth and not love, because you don't understand what real love is biblically defined unless you have the truth. That's just me. That's how I'm not trying to throw love out or something. I'm just saying fake love is no good. You know, that's not a good thing. So I think it's truth, and then I think it's love. And then I think the next one is faith. And in that faith and other elements, very close to that is feelings. And the reason that I say that is because you think, well, how in a Christian walk is feelings a part of it? Well, first of all, John 11:3, Jesus 11:35, Jesus wept. Okay, it's not as though God created humanity without feelings. We gotta eliminate that and kind of remove that from the thinking. What we can't do, where I'm going with this, is you don't want the feelings to be the engine of your train, but they still have to be a part of your train. You can't deny your feelings. You're not cutting them off in existence. But you'll find that many times faith and feeling have a confrontation, have a fight. And that's not all that abnormal. The things to remember are things like this. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And if you remember the King James, the heart is desperately wicked, above all things, who can know it? The idea is that in the emotional place that we can be, there is a spiritual input and there's a soulish input, and that soulish one will get you in a lot of trouble. And when your feelings take precedent over your faith, especially in relationship to truth, you can also get into a lot of trouble. You've heard me say it before. I'll say it again. I have no problem communicating it. If you go to Taco Bell and eat 15 tacos and 36 burritos and 27 do they still have the churros? I think they got rid of those. Didn't they get rid of those?
Yeah, I think they got rid of those.
Okay. Maybe 5 Mountain Dews and then whatever their fake new dessert is, because it's probably not that good. And then you walk out of there. The fact of the matter, fact, is you will not feel the love of God. It does not change the love of God. You might have gas, but it does not change the love of God. Okay, you'll have indigestion. It does not change the love of God, but it will not feel like there is the love of God. And so in 1 John 4:16, it says, "And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them." The truth is that God is still loving you and I, still loving you and I, even if our feelings at the moment display or communicate otherwise. And what's important about that is I've been sick a couple of times where it was really sick. One time I had kind of like mini pneumonia. This was a long time ago. And I was sick. And you know how you get sick where you want to be babied? And just be honest out there. Don't be lying. And you think, oh my God, this is terrible. I could pass over right here from here to the great kingdom beyond. That's how you feel like you're gonna die. And you just guys do this worse than women. Oh, just admit it. Guys are like, oh, this is really serious. Which is why I think the greatest tombstone in the world is, I told her I wasn't feeling good. I still think that's the best. Anyhow, the idea there is to understand that those feelings are intense and they're real and they're a part of you. They're just not accurate. And what I'm trying to say by this is you don't deny that you have feelings, okay? There's no denial of how you feel. You cannot unfeel what you're feeling, okay? You just put those feelings in their proper context on how they impact your life and how they affect you. And the reason that I say that is because of where we're going, and you're going to be, you know, you'll catch it. You'll catch the wave when we get there. But the idea is to understand that faith triumphs over feelings, but it's not a denial of feelings. It's not that you have no feelings. You do feel pain. You do feel hurt. You do feel the crushingness from time to time, and it is a real element in your walk, and God is not unaware. He's not detached from that. He knows what you're going through, but he wants you to seize upon faith more than on feeling. Do you get that? And with that becomes the subject of the love of God in your life. Because what many Christians find is that they become Christians and they're trying to find that love of God that they had before. They're trying to find it again. Kind of like going back to how it was, right? This is what happens when people, a long time ago, preacher Fred Price said, you know, no matter what side you're on, the other side always looks better. Look over there. Look at that. On that side, they got this. Well, on that side, they got this. But you're not on that side. You're just seeing it from a distance. My point in bringing that up is things always look, you know, from a different perspective. Children of Israel, once they were out of bondage and in the wilderness, they were looking back at the bondage time in Egypt and going, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't that bad. And it's like that's the kind of thing that happens to us when our emotions power past our faith. Not that you don't have emotions, not that you deny that you have feelings, but they can't be the engine on your train in life. And Scripture is absolutely clear about this. When we get back, I'm going to kind of deal with it and go that direction. By the way, the answer to the trivia question, I'll make sure we get that right. The answer is Daniel. Daniel was the guy that prayed three times a day at an open window. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. We're going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait. There's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or do you know? Did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So. But, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know. So you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the bored.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, if you ever want to reach out to us during the show, 214-210-8483, you can text. You can, you know, you're always welcome to send comments or different things or questions through the text. We're pretty open on that. If I have the time, I usually try and text. I usually do the texting in between segments or thereabouts. Try to read them, though, on a regular basis. With that all said, for probably no real reason, we will now go into the next trivia question. See if I can find what I just did with it. Okay, here we go. In what book of the Bible do you find there is no new thing under the sun? That's a person not having a great day. There's no new thing under the sun. Where's that? Where's that at? Where's that? Where's that? Let me know if you know. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, very important to check that out. I think I added, I got to tell you one thing I did, and then I got in trouble with Facebook. All right, so very nice, very well played. Very well played. So now I am not advocating, and you know I'm pretty neutral. I'm kingdom, or you know, kingdom first. But every once in a while you see a joke that's so funny. I mean, come, it's so funny. And for those that are born in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, and ever watched any Monty Python before everybody freaked out about Life of Brian, you'll remember in the Monty Python and the Holy Grail, there was this scene where they were trying to figure out whether this person was a witch or not, and then they figured out a duck. If she weighed the same as a duck, then she was a witch. It's a big joke. It's like a wood floats, a duck floats, a witch is made of wood. It's like malarkey, right? So anyway, I read that across one of these satire sites, the Babylon Bee, because I thought it was hilarious, because I remember watching the movie when it first came out. And so I did a post on there and put it up, and Facebook said, "Bad boy." They originally told the Babylon Bee that's inciting violence, but the only violence there is their inability to laugh, is pretty much what I figured out, because it's about a duck. So I'm not sure how many political structures are functioning around a duck, but, you know, it's not my company, so I don't get to say. It's a duck, people, a duck. Okay. All right, let's do a little history before I lose my mind on that. I wasn't going to talk about it, but I did. Okay. Let's go live big in the past. Let's go live big in the past. All right. righty, here we go with some history. Some of this is actually quite cool. I think you will like it. For those that do not know, today is Apple Day. Apple Day is a big Apple Day. Apple Day, for those that don't know. Today is National Pumpkin Cheesecake Day, right? So I'm you don't like that? Are you like cheesecake or pumpkin or both?
Cheesecake.
Not a cheesecake fan. Mm. Wow. I did not know that. That's good to know. So when you go out for dessert, don't get cheesecake. Okay. I got to remember.
Yeah, that's a must. Can't do that.
Okay. Today, this day should be every single day for the rest of the next 2 weeks. It's Informational Overload Day. That's when you come into something new and then you're first introduced to it. And it's that first day and you just, your brain goes, what? What? I can't even fit another Cocoa Puff in my brain. And you're trying to give me numbers and formulas. I have those days quite often, I just want to say. And then finally, it's Count Your Buttons Day. I don't know what that means. I
better count your buttons.
I better count my buttons. No. 1954 on this day, first James Bond movie, the actual first James Bond movie, Casino Royale, starred Barry Nelson, making him the very first 007, for those that don't know. First transatlantic transmission of speech, AT&T, transmitted in Arlington, from Arlington, Virginia, to Paris on this day in 1915, 105 years ago, they were communicating across the world, across the globe. People don't think about that. That's amazing. All right, that's enough of that. Let's get into the text. Don't forget our trivia question. If you want to call, you got to call 972-445-0770. The other number is just for texting. So the 972-445-0770 is the calling number. Notice how I said that, and then we got a phone call. That's how you gotta be aware of those things. There's a little thing you know. Is that somebody calling in? Nope, they didn't. Okay, so here's the bottom line. The bottom line is the trivia question. In what book of the Bible do you find the words, there's no new thing under the sun? Again, maybe written in a moment. That inspirational writing, but communicates different elements, which actually is a good lead into this. So we were just talking about faith and we were talking about feelings, okay? Well, now somebody's calling back, so we will take it if they're able to squeeze it in. Yes, no, maybe. They're freaking out. Getting a pizza. Yes. No. See, I'm reading tea through a glass, and I'm trying to... Okay. Yes. Okay, this is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Bobby Fisher.
Hi, Bobby. How are you?
It's been a long time since I got to call in, but I got your phone number again, and I think I know the answer to the trivia question.
Well, I'm going to give you the opportunity to tell me, and I hope you get it right, and if not, I bet you we can get you to the right place. So talk to me about who said there is no new thing under the sun.
I think it was, it's in the book of Ecclesiastes, but I think it was Solomon.
That is correct.
Sure,
both of those you got right. Yes!
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good job. And that's, you know, you when you read that book, you know, there's a lot of really great lines in there, but you do get the impression that he was having kind of a hard moment in life, you know? It's there's nothing new. There's nothing new. And it's like he's banging his head against a wall or something.
That's what I tell a lot of people to start out. I said, you ought to read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes as a child. That way you know what's to come and how to handle it.
There you go. There you go. Good job, brother. Excellent. Thank you. Excellent. Thank you for calling in.
Well, you keep up the great work. I enjoy your show.
I appreciate that very much.
All right. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We have a cool audience. I like our audience. Cool. All right. Let's go back into this. I want to talk about this. So we're talking about faith and feelings. I got you think I'll get this in. Just watch. So faith and feelings. Now, again, I don't want people to get the wrong idea that feelings are like, well, they're not a part of life. Yes, they are. They're a big part of your life. And it's important for you to understand that. What happens, Psalm 139, 13 and 14, you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. A person's body, your body, is a creation of God. It's fantastic. It's more in depth than science could ever tell you because there's so much going on with it. They still haven't quite figured out how the regenerative part happens when your body heals itself. We're not even discussing it. It's just fantastic how much stuff is in you. It's like a whole, you know, universe in and of itself, although don't get into that weird, you know, metaphysical thinking. But the idea is to understand that feelings are a great part. Here's the problem, okay? In the garden, notice how everything goes back to the garden. Has anybody ever noticed that? In the garden, when man sinned and man died, Adam and Eve died spiritually on that day, they corrupted the system. And the best way to understand that is if you thought of yourself as a computer, just think of sin as the worm or the bug that got into the system and is just messing up all the proper functionings. What happened is that our feelings got, distorted. And then it's not that your feelings are wrong, but they take on its own little livelihood. And when you're feeling afraid, okay, perfect example, this is where you're supposed to exercise faith, but that part of you is like, I'm afraid. Even though you don't even know all of the consequences, your response is one of fear and one of doubt and one of running and one of hiding. These are all the things that are not good. This is the bug in the system. So when Genesis took place, Genesis 3 took place and we sinned, we had this major disconnect from the Lord. And when we disconnected from the Lord, it ruined the excellent software and put kind of a malware or a worm into our software. And now we're all like going, and then you have people, you know, light for darkness, darkness for light. I mean, it's all messed up and it's crazy. And you're just looking at it and you know the only redemption, the only reboot, watch this, is to be what? Born again. That's the whole being born again is your reboot. And you get rebooted. And it's like, got rid of that malware, got rid of that bug, got rid of that bad system, right? The idea behind this is to understand that in the born-again position, those feelings you have, they can be very, very intuitive, very, very helpful, especially if you're being led by the Spirit. And in fact, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, 13, and 14 said, you know, I got to this place, I had no peace of mind, so I left. Even though it was an open door from the Lord, he didn't have that full sense of comfort. Guess what? That has to do with feelings. And when you're under the leading of the Lord, those feelings are, that's fine. They usually lead to giving guidance and direction, protections, whatever the case may be. What they ought not to do is take away from the Lord. But sinful feelings do that. And why is that important? And what does that have to do with the love of God? Because there's a very specific passage that talks to us about feeling the love of God. Did you know that? And we're going to talk about it when we get back. Isn't that just a great setup? That's a great radio setup right there. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. All of mankind, destroying
everyone and everything we find. It's the hunt. What is the David Spoon Experience?
Today is Have a Bad Day Day. I don't know. Have a bad day. Somebody had to take the time to name a day a bad day. I don't know.
I think it's also National Men's Day, so that kind of works.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Play Monopoly Day is also a holiday that some people like. And then World Toilet Day.
Okay.
I'm not even going to... not even close. Not even going to touch that. For those that want to know, this is the stuff I like. This is what you get when you listen to the show. On this day in 1959, the Edsel was discontinued. That might be interesting. But this is what's fascinating. Rocky and Bullwinkle. Rocky and his friends premiered on this day in 1959. See, that's important.
I hated that cartoon.
Did you really hate
Horrible.
That cartoon?
Okay. Horrible.
I liked the cartoon. I always thought, you know, the Russians did it. Do you remember when they were going
Natasha
through
yeah, and Boris.
They were going through this whole thing with Donald Trump and that whole thing, and people kept dropping in these memes with the – it was so funny. I mean, it was some pretty funny stuff. And I will tell you one last thing, and we'll get into the teaching. We'll do trivia in the next segment. I will let you know that my wife and I got into a discussion last night as we were watching television, as we were watching a show, while we're working on stuff together, and I don't have the answer, so I'm going to ask Wonder Julie. And if you call in for a trivia, you might be able to give us the answer. But we're watching a show, and in the show, there's all these people that are skydiving. And then the last guy goes, and I tried to say, well, it looks like he skydived. And then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right, skydived, because that's past tense. And then skydove. And then that didn't sound right. And then skydiven, that doesn't sound right. Skydivid, that doesn't sound right. Skydiv, jump out. I mean, what is the past tense of skydived? It just seems weird. It seems like it's a weird. Do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know. I never would jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
It was one of those things we looked at each other and laughed because we're like, going, I don't even know the answer to this. My English is so bad. I can't even figure out how to give me the past tense. I mean, sky dove, but it just seems like a weird word. Maybe it's me. That's what happens when they, you know, experiment with you when drugs, when you're like 1 year old. Try this on him. Try this on him. That was me. All right, let's go into Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Poor Wonder Julie's going, what happened to you? Nothing. It's the same idiotic me.
Hey, I leave you alone for one day, and the wheels come off.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Ta-da! Texas. Ta-da! Okay. Trivia question. This is a good one. Okay. This is a good one. Good one. Good one. Good one. Good one. Okay. To whom, like how I said that, to whom did Jesus say, to whom, I will tell you it's in the book of Revelation. To whom did Jesus say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. To whom? Did Jesus say that too? If you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can text in 214-210-8483. You know, I love it when people text when we're doing the show and so on and so forth. We've got some really cool people. I should tell, I didn't mention this, but I should let her know just as a personal shout out to let Paige know we're not, I think Friday will be our next dictionary. Just tell her ahead of time because I sent her the transliteration stuff. So keeping her, you know, in posted. So that'll be what, Friday, because tomorrow is the expository. Tomorrow is really very, very challenging. I'm just telling you ahead of time. All right, so that's the trivia question that's on there. Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, again, don't forget to check out HeMustIncrease.org. That's a great place to give. You don't have to be like give tons or whatever, you know. If the Lord leads you, great. If he doesn't, hey, you can pray for us, right? I mean, I think that's I'd just rather have a praying group all day long, praying for you guys every day. You know, I can't pray for each one of you by name unless I know the circumstance, and then those that I do know the circumstance, I do pray for you, for your health and for well-being, for emotional and psychological recovery and good spiritual warfare and standing firm. It's a tough time in our country for a lot of people, but that's why you have to stay focused. No matter what you're hearing or seeing right now, 3 weeks from now or 3 months from now when you wake up, still want to be a Christian, don't you? Okay. That's all you got to – it's the only question you got to answer. Nothing else. Still want to be in the Lord, right? I was talking to somebody at church on Sunday, and he had said something, and I said about, you know, just the up and down. I said, well, if you were born in Canada, you'd still want to be a Christian. He goes, absolutely. Like, there you go. Okay. Eh? Eh? See, eh? that's Canadian. Eh? I guess that'd be really impressive if some of you guys knew what the Biffy meant, but I'm just going to leave that alone. Did you know what a Biffy is?
Nope, yeah, I was going
to. That's Canadian for bathroom. I got to go to the Biffy. I'm just telling you. We spare no expense on this show. Okay. So here's the deal. The deal is, getting back to my text, the deal is if God is far from you, okay, first of all, he's only far from you in the way you feel about it. He doesn't move. I mean, God's not the one that's moving. You know that. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of water of life come. And so the Lord's always like, hey, yeah, come on in. The access to the Lord is 24/7, 365, because the blood of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, especially if you get into Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 22, the way has been made where it's open 24/7 for you to spend time with the Lord. There's no restriction, no denial, nothing that is there. Even if you are struggling with sin, that's the time to come to the Lord, not run away from the Lord and hide. You come to the Lord and say, I need help. That's the whole point. But what happens is because a lot of us think, well, now that I'm a Christian and God has gotten a chance to know me, maybe he doesn't think I'm as great as he thought when I first became a Christian. A typical lie from Satan, the father of lies, because God doesn't know you any more or less right now than he did when you said yes. Okay? So you got to get that kind of yucky thinking and yucky stuff away from your mind. The Lord knows you as well now as he did before you said yes. He still chose you. Okay? He knows you. He knows what's going on. He's aware. And then people will say, but Dave, that love of God, you know, power was really effective in my life, and I'd like to have more of that or get back to that because it really put me at a kind of a different place, and it kind of set my emotions down and put me in this right zone. And the answer to that comes out of Romans 5:5. I'm not going to be shy about it. I understand. You understand I'm a Baptist ordination and Pentecostal ordination. You know, postgraduate from Baptist and Pentecostal. That's how it goes. Okay? Here's what it says, Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And there's a boatload of people, and they're trying to figure out why they can never reconnect to the love of God in their lives. And I'll just tell you why. Because you're quenching the Holy Spirit. Because the love of God that was poured into your heart when you accepted Jesus Christ by faith came through the Holy Spirit. And if that's where the Holy Spirit, that's where the love of God came from, where do you think you got to go to get it again? The Holy Spirit? Yes. Right? I mean, I'm just saying, if eating the best cheeseburger in the world was at In-N-Out, guess where you got to go to eat the best cheeseburger again? In-N-Out. All I'm saying is the love of God, the love of God. Now, you don't live by that feeling, but you don't deny the feelings either. Remember how we just talked about that? You make sure your feelings are subject to the faith and the truth. I mean, there's none of that's hard. In the sense of knowing it, doing it is hard. Knowing it's not hard, doing it can be difficult. But the scripture is clear. Hope does not disappoint us, and God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And what happens is we get involved in sin, we get distance from the Lord, we move from our relationship with the Lord, there's a distance that comes in between us, and then we can't figure out why we're not getting that same juice, for the lack of a better term, that connected us to the Lord, that why it's not the same was because you moved. Because you're quenching. Because the love of God comes into your heart through the Holy Spirit. I want to feel the love of God again. Okay. Well, spend time with the Lord. Confess your sins and acknowledge it. And times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. And acknowledge that and be walked by the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Somehow that scripture just gets pushed. That's Romans 8:14. That's a scripture just like Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. We'll quote that all day long. Well, let's quote this one all day long. Right? There's not one less or one greater scripture. Right? God pours out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Well, what's the problem? Usually we're quenching or we're grieving. And scripture tells us, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. What's to grieve? Make sad. That's not the same as quench. To quench is to tighten up it's a pipe that's tightened up. And so you have a pipe and water's coming through it, and it tightens the pipe so that less water comes through and less water comes through till it comes down to a drip. Well, you want to know why you're only getting the drip? Because the pipe's closed. You want to know why you're distanced from that? Because you're grieving the Spirit. You're making them sad. And you think, well, how's that? Well, keep in mind the Holy Spirit lives inside you, so everything that's going on inside you, sin-wise, he knows. Like, uh-oh. Yeah. There's no, you don't escape that. And I'm not saying that to be charismatic. That's the ultimate irony behind this, is to understand you're quenching, knowing, and experiencing the love of God by your sinfulness. That's what I'm saying. I can't imagine any teacher anywhere could misunderstand that. Because when we disconnect from the Lord, we're disconnecting from all the benefits that come from the Lord. Remember Psalm 103? Remember all his benefits? And so some of us are very, You got the guy with the top hat and the cane and the spinning bow tie. And, oh, you can't say stuff. It's ridiculous. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three in one and one in three. Right? Okay. And the Holy Spirit is your guidance counselor. Right? And your comforter. Right? How's your sessions going? How's your counseling sessions going? He's your guidance counselor. How's your sessions going? It's a fair question. The reason I bring that up is because we're hypersensitive, not trying to offend the Lord. Don't you think God knows? I sometimes pray. I say, Lord, if I'm not acknowledging you enough, Jesus, I apologize. I do that. But then I go, but you know I'm not trying to diss you. It's like, that's not my goal here. My goal is to honor you. And to love you. Well, okay, I think if you pray that way and are honest with God and do all that stuff, you're good. He's not up there going, oh, Dave didn't say it perfect. Quick, get the gun. It's like, what's the matter with you? He knows we're trying. Okay? And that's important. I really want you to get that. Okay. The answer to the trivia question, the church at Laodicea, it wasn't to unbelievers that Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. But to believers, and that's happening right now. And it's not a coincidence you heard this. Just tell the Lord, I want more of you in my life. I open up my heart to you. And let him fellowship with you in that way. And you'll find there's a lot more available in God than most of us think. Most of us think we have to control it. Better to let him do it, okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false, but if
the views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.